Turn with me, if you would, back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's read one verse together. Verse 16. It says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." I'd like for us to use that verse of Scripture as an outline for this message. The Scripture is our outline. You know that? We just read one line and then we read the next line and then we read the next line. And I'd like for us to see five things from this one verse tonight. Number one, the Lord Himself is our peace. He said in verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace Himself." I love that. The Lord Himself is our peace. Number two, peace is not fought for by us. It's not earned by us. It's not won by us. It's given to us. Peace is given to us. He said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace." Number three, I want us to see that never will we be without it. Never. He said in verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always." Always. Number four, I want us to see that it will come through every means. It will come, peace will come through every means. He said in verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." And number five, I want us to see that peace will come to every single one of God's people. Every single one. He ended the verse by saying, "The Lord be with you all." All of you. Every single one of God's people. Now, I have titled this message, and it may, based on my intro here, this may strike you as odd, but I've titled this message, "Peace When There Is No Peace." And I've titled it that on purpose because you know the verse of Scripture that tells us of men and women who have peace in this world. And hear of and are told of peace in this world, but they don't have any peace with God. They do. They have peace in this world, happy in this world, but they don't have any peace with God. And they're being lied to by men who are standing up in pulpits telling people, and this is what men are saying in other words. This is what they're saying. They're standing up saying, "There's no need in fearing God. You don't need to fear God." That's what they're saying. They're saying, "He's not angry with your sin." You know, I want to make it clear in the ministry of our preaching here, God is angry with our sin. You want to know how angry? Look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But men stand up and tell people, "Listen, he's not holy. God is not holy. He's not just and strict according to his law." And they stand up and tell people, "He is not going to punish you. I hope it's made clear through the course of our ministry that God will punish us for our sin. If we want to see how badly, look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But men stand up and tell people, everything's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Jeremiah is the one who said, they are lying to men and women, crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Outside of Christ, there is no peace. And that's the truth. That honestly is the truth. And you know, we get on things like this and you think, oh, that's hard and that's strict and that's stern. People need to know this. Outside of Christ, there is no peace. Outside of Christ, there is no peace. It doesn't matter what we have in this lifetime. Outside of Christ, there is no peace. What does that mean? You know, we stand up here and say that. What is it to be outside of Christ? We talk about and we warn people about being outside of Christ. What does that mean? What do we mean when we say that? What is it to be out of Christ? Here's what it is. It's to be in self. That's what it is. If I come before God in my own righteousness, then I am not coming in Christ's righteousness. That makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm coming in my own righteousness, I'm not coming in Christ's righteousness. I'm coming outside of Christ's righteousness because I'm coming in my own. And coming in righteousness means, when we say that, what we mean is, if I'm coming in my own works and my own good deeds, if I ask myself in my mind, why do I think I'm going to get to go to heaven? If my answer is, well, because basically I'm a good person. And I try to do good things and I go to church and I this and I that. If I go before the judgment throne of God in my own works and my own deeds, then I'm not coming in Christ's works and Christ's deeds. Coming in Christ's works and Christ's deeds is asking myself, why is God going to let me into heaven? And here's my answer. It's because of what Christ has done. It's because of who Christ is and because of what He earned for His people. If I plea my own payment and my own sacrifice, you know, people literally think, well, you know, we're going to have to cut some things out and make some sacrifices for God if we want to be saved. If I come in my own sacrifice, I'm not coming in His. I'm not coming in the sacrifice of Christ. So we either come in Christ or we come in ourselves. It's one of the two. If I'm looking in here and hoping in here, if my faith and my assurance is in here, looking within myself, then I am not looking within Christ. My hope and my faith and my assurance is outside of Christ. And the truth is, outside of Christ, there is no peace. There is no peace. It just crushes me to hear men stand up and say, look within yourselves, all right? You're going to have to look within. Don't do that. That's looking without Christ. That's what it is. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But here's the thing. In Christ, God will cause all of His people to hear the truth. And they'll say, I believe that. That makes sense to me. And I do that. I renounce me and look to Him alone. In the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are looking to Him and not ourselves, His work, His righteousness, His sacrifice, not our own, there is peace there. There is peace there. There is peace in Him, even when there's no peace in anything else. And there really is. There honestly is. There is peace in Him, even when there's no peace in anything else. So to make my title clear, so we can understand what I mean in titling the message this, outside of Christ, men and women may have some temporary peace in this world. They may. But there's no eternal peace to come. But in Christ, even though this world may be nothing but trials and tribulation and heartache, and I'm going to tell you, it is. It is. But even though that's the case, and sometimes, you know, we're hard-pressed to find one solitary moment of peace in this world. There's no peace. There's just no peace. But even though that's the case, in Christ, we have an unlimited. That means a never wavering, never failing, never diminishing peace waiting for us with Him right now. Eternal peace, no matter what goes on down here. We have an ordered, established peace in the heavens that has been settled for us, and knowing that settles us. It settles us. So that's why I titled this Peace When There Is No Peace. Outside of Christ, for an unbeliever, that means something horrible. But in Christ, for a child of God, that is a glorious truth. In Him, we have peace, even when there's no peace anywhere else. Now, let's look at these five truths that ought to bring great peace to us. I pray it will bring great peace to us tonight. Number one, for a child of God. For a child of God, for a quickened, called, chosen child of God, the Lord Himself, He is our peace. He is our peace. If we are looking for peace, look to Him. Really, look to Him. He is our peace. You think about this in your mind as I describe some of these things, say some of these things, and see if it doesn't bring peace to you, okay? Just knowing who He is in all of His authority, in all of His power, in all, He's not trying to do anything. All He has to do is speak the word and it's done. And everything that He speaks was purposed and unchangeable from the beginning till now and forever. And it's all good and right and perfect. Just knowing who He is. All we have to do is whenever something comes along that just is so troubling. All we have to do is in our mind and our heart and our soul just think on who He is and what He came to do for us and what He did for us as our substitute. Just think about who our substitute is. As our advocate, as our mediator, as our deliverer, as our redeemer, as our security, He is our security, as our hope and our plea and our all, He Himself is our peace. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. Verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That word prince means the chief, the captain, the commander, the securer of peace. That's what his name shall be called. When the angels announced his birth, they cried, "Glory to God in the highest, peace has come to the earth." Peace himself is on the earth. He is our peace. Turn with me to John 16. John 16, verse 33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That brings peace to me. I've overcome the world. He said, "Your peace is in me." Even though tribulation will come in this world, your peace is in me. A true peace. I mean a true peace. Not just something to get you through the day. A true peace. An eternal peace. Turn with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," that means looking to Christ, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Even though our sin was at enmity against God, even though in our sinful flesh, we were at war with God. That's what it means, at war with God. In Christ, we're at peace. In Christ, we have peace. Why? Romans 5 goes on to say, because Christ died for us. That's the reason why. Peace with God, all because Christ died for us to make that peace. Ephesians 2 says, when His blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, at that moment, He broke down the middle wall of partition. And He abolished all of that enmity. And He drew us to Himself. And He made us to be one with Him, so making peace. Christ is our peace. He is our peace with God. He's our peace with each other. He is our peace with each other. He is the peace in this church. I feel like this assembly is at peace. I really do. He is our peace. And I'm so thankful for that. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Just so thankful. He is the peace in our homes. If we want peace in our homes, He is that peace. He is the peace in our hearts. If we want peace in the heart, He is that peace. When we are truly looking to Him, and that's what it means, looking to Him, look at Him, soak Him in. Acknowledge who He is and what He's done for us. When we're looking to Him, we have peace. So He Himself is our peace. Number two, and the other one's not going to take as long. Number two, His peace is not fought for. It's not earned. or won by us. It is freely given to us. Turn with me to John 14. John 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "I have given you peace." Now, here's what I want to say about this. Knowing that He gives it, if we want it, knowing that He gives it, seeing that He's willing to give it, and that He freely gives it, let's ask Him for it. Let's ask Him for it. He said, "You have not because you ask not." He said, "If you ask a good thing in my name, I'll give it to you." So He is our peace, and He will freely give it to us. Let's ask Him for it. Let's ask for peace. I would, some here pray for us, but it doesn't matter. We all pray in our heart individually. I'm asking you to ask the Lord for peace here. Let's ask for peace within this congregation, that it might continue. Peace with each other. That's what I want. I really want that. You know how sin ruins everything. You know how this flesh ruins everything. And you think about how brethren, I'm talking about true brethren, can be so together, and then something comes along and I ruin it, my flesh ruins it, my sin ruins it, and brethren separate. I don't want that with you. I don't. Let's pray for peace. I want to be at peace. Let's ask for peace, not only within this congregation, but with the other true congregations that the Lord has raised up. Let's ask for peace. I want that. I want peace within the church. I want peace between the churches. Let's ask for peace within our homes. Let's ask for peace. Do we ever think to do that? Whatever the circumstance may be, whether we have children who are growing up or husbands and wives or whatever it may be, let's ask for peace within our homes and within our families. The kind of peace that God supplies, not the kind of peace that the world gives, the kind of true heart peace that only God can give. Sometimes we murmur and complain, saying, "I just don't have any peace." But I don't ever ask for it. Let's ask for that within our homes, within our families, within our own selves. Only God can give it. Say, "I just feel troubled." And only God can give it. There's one source of it. He is our peace. And it has to come from Him. It can only come from Him. We can't get it any other way. It has to be given. So, don't turn back, but let me remind you of what our text says. It says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always." Always. Whether we know the experience of the peace that Christ has given to us or not, it's always there. It is always there. Never will we be without it. Never. We just said, let's ask Him for it. Meaning, let's ask Him to let us enter into the experience of knowing what He's provided for us. It's there. And we ask, "Lord, let me enter into it. Let me enjoy the experience of it." Our sinful flesh has a way of continually hiding that peace from us. That's what it does. It hides the peace from us. And it ruins the enjoyment of that peace for us. But even though our sin ruins our experience of it, it's always there. Forever settled in heaven. Look with me at Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 26. Ezekiel 37, verse 26, the Lord said, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore." He said, an everlasting covenant of peace. We were just in Isaiah 9, where verse 6 said, "Christ is the Prince of Peace." Verse 7, the next verse after it said, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." God's people will never be without it. It's right there, ready and waiting for us anytime we need it. All we have to do is look to Christ. Anytime we need it, it's right there. Just look to Christ. The one who said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." Turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let me remind you again of what our text says. It says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means." By all means. This peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that He freely gives to us, it will come to us through every means. Every means. It will be there for us in every situation and circumstance that comes our way. By all means. No matter what. Doesn't matter if it's poverty. Doesn't matter if it's pain, persecution, sickness, death. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how difficult the circumstance may be. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ for God's people will surpass the circumstance. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Passes understanding. We have a dear sister who lives in another place. And many years ago, she lost her believing daughter. Her daughter was a believer. I believe she was probably in her late 20s. But our sister was obviously sad. Obviously. Very sad, very tearful. But the peace of God, which passes understanding, was with her. And when her unbelieving neighbors, she lived, you know, on this particular street, and her neighbors all found out, her neighbors came over and some friends came over, and they tried to console her, but she ended up being the one who consoled them. And one lifelong friend in particular got mad at her for having so much peace. Got really mad at her. And she was you know, in her frustration, she told her, she said, I'm going to clear everybody out of this house, and I want you to run through this house screaming at the top of your lungs. And our sister said, that just won't be necessary. That's just not necessary. She said, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. I'm sad. But she said, I bow to the sovereign will of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I trust that He has done all things well in this. And that friend of hers said, well, I just don't understand that. I just do not understand. I don't understand how you can have peace at a time like this. Verse 7 says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, no matter what the situation is. He shall, no matter what the situation is. So go back to our text. We'll close. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16 says, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord is with every single one of His people. The Lord is with every single one of His people. And if the Lord is with His people, His peace is with His people. If the Lord is with them, His peace is with them. That will hold true for every single child of God. It cannot and it will not be said that one child of God has the peace of Christ and another child of God cannot have it. That cannot and will not be said. God's sovereign word says, the Lord and His peace will be with you all. Every single one of us. Forever. Now and forever. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.